Okay, good morning, everybody. This is our welcome to our OHO class learning, last class till after the Yom Tovim. We are going to be studying Sukkot insights, really, but I did need to mention that yesterday there were two Kedoshim in Eretz Yisrael. The 29-year-old police officer, his first name was Yosef. Does anyone remember? I could look it up, but I'm going to take off the phone now.
Yerma?
We just called Yosef HaTzadik.
Very nice. Razi says we should just call him Yosef HaTzadik. Okay, and a 60-year-old mother of three and grandmother of six. They were murdered yesterday in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, Misa Al Kiddush Hashem. And I was thinking how tragic it is that Klal Yisrael just began the new year, the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, and already we need Karbanos on our behalf. What does it say about us as a people that Hashem has to take, I love what you just said, let's call him Yosef HaTzadik, that Hashem has to take Karbanos from us, the year just began. So may they be made to Hashem on behalf of Klal Yisrael. As Halal Rina Ariel's mother said, it's enough, it's very crowded up there, and they should be the first, and please God, the last Karbanos of this new year. And we should really only be Zolcha to Simchas, Sers Tovos, Yeshulos, Nachamos, and 5777. Okay, so we're going to start at the end of Parshas Re'eh. I'm just going to read you the psukim that speak about Sukkos. Chag HaSukkos Ta'asa Lecha Shuvas Yamim, should make for yourself the festival of Sukkos for 7 days. Ba'aspecha Megarnecha L'miyekvecha, when you gather in your grains and your wine vat. V'samachta B'chagecha, we're going to talk about this, that the fact that by Sukkos alone, this is really only my Sukkos class this year, by Sukkos alone does it say the double lashon of Simcha. It's by Sukkos Davka that says V'samach V'chagacha V'yisach Samech. We're going to talk about the Simcha. You, Ata, Uvincha, Uvitacha, V'avdach V'amascha, your sons, your daughters, your servant, your female servant, V'halevi, and the Levi, V'hager, and the convert, V'hayasam, V'ha'amana, and the orphan, and the widow. Yosef HaTzadik was married for 5 months. His wife's name is Noi. He was married for 5 months. Asher b'sharacha, that is in, I thought because I said Amana, that is in your gate. Shivas yamim tachog la'ashem akecha. 7 days you shall have the festival for Hashem your God in the place that He chooses. Ki varecha Hashem akecha b'chol tvu'ascha. Interesting. Sukkos is related to the tvu'ah, is related to the ingathering of the crops. V'chol ma'aseh yadecha. And you will be successful. Hashem will bless you in all the works of your hands. V'hayisa ach sameh. So you will be simcha filled when you see the bounty and the crops and the gathering in. Shalosh pamim bashana ya kol zuchorchas p'nei Hashem akacha. 3 times a year, of course, we have the shalosh regalim. Each man should see the face of Hashem at the place that he chooses. B'chag ha-matzos, b'chag ha-shavuos, b'chag ha-sukos, should not see the face of Hashem empty. Each man, according to what he could bring, according to what Hashem blessed him with. So I just want to say that I want to talk about this first. And Rashi says, when shall you rejoice? Bizman ha'asif. Sukkos is related to the festival of the ingathering, not of the exiles yet. Hopefully it'll be the ingathering of the exiles soon, but related to the gathering of the produce from the field. Sha'atem machnis labayis peros hakayitz. You bring into the house the fruits of the summer. So you could imagine that in the olden days, literally, they would be gathering provisions for winter, and everything that was planted in the spring and sown and grown and harvested, etc., is now brought into the house. So the source of the rejoicing seems to be linked to this union of gathering in from the fields the crops and the produce and the bounty, as Rashi says. Okay, I'm in Devarim Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Yud Gimel 16:13 of Devarim. At the time of the gathering, when you bring into the house the fruits of the summer, so Sukkos and specifically Simchas Yom Tov here is related to the gathering of produce. In regard to Pesach, if you look up at the beginning of Perek Tes Zayin, which we're not going to go through right now, the beginning of Perek Tes Zayin in Devarim, you don't have the lashon of Simcha at all by Pesach in the Torah text here. Regarding Shavuos, the Torah uses the lashon of Simcha one time, and only regarding Sukkos does it say Simcha twice. By Shavuos it says V'samachta l'fnei Hashem elkecha, you shall rejoice before Hashem your God, you and your son, your daughter, your servant, etc. So by Pesach, no lashon of Simcha. 1 second, please. By Shavuos, one time it says Simcha, and by Sukkos it's Rav Hashanah. I read a question, I didn't say anything. That's not true, I'm quoting the Torah, not true. Yeah.
It's 6:13, you said?
16. I'm quoting Devarim 16:13. I'm just telling you the source, but I'm quoting. So the Baal HaTurim comments on 16:11. Okay. When it refers to Simcha one time by Shavuos, the Baal HaTurim says, the Torah did not use the term Simcha regarding Pesach. The grain is still in the field. It's the beginning of the season. The farmer's not yet ready to celebrate joy over the new crop. Shavuos, the term Simcha is mentioned one time. The grain has been harvested, he says, but the grapes, the wine, is still on the vine. With regard to Sukkot, says the Baal HaTurim, Shahakol Babayis, everything is in the house. All the bounty has already been harvested. This word Simcha is used twice. So the Baal HaTurim, combined with Rashi, combined with the Pshat of the Psukim, is really teaching us that the Simcha is related to the bringing in of the crops from the field. So it's interesting because for wine and grain, when I have both, I am commanded to rejoice, migarnecha, from your threshing floor, or miyakvecha, and from your wine vat. So it could be hard for us to understand that we are rejoicing over Gashmias. And of course, it has to be a much deeper level of meaning. It can't be that we're simply rejoicing over Gashmias, but how does bring the base physicality of the produce of the field, but how does gathering in the produce and having the wine and having a good crop teach us that we must rejoice? So there's a beautiful insight that I saw brought down in the Sefer Parparos LaTorah about Birkas HaMazon, but it can really answer the question of why specifically when we see a lot of bounty, does the Torah say, V'samachta b'chagacha v'hayisa ach samech? So, beautiful insight from Parparos LaTorah. It is the nature of man, and this is absolutely true, we are struck by those things that are lamala min hateva. We're really taken when we see incidents that seem to be above nature, like something fantastic. We say, whoa, it's Yad Hashem. When man considers nature and the normal way the world is run, the setting of the sun, the Sefer says, the rain in its time, the sprouting of the produce on the earth, the fruits and vegetables, man is not particularly impressed or excited. Okay, so the sun rose. Who's really excited because the sun rose in the morning? I'm being serious. You were? Beautiful. Baruch Hashem. Oh, because it was raining yesterday.
That's exactly right.
Man, the MS is, it's very nice, but the MS is, man does not consider nature wonders of creation.
We take it for everything. Right.
We take it for granted. Right. We take it for granted. It's absolutely true. Yeah. However, continues Parparas the Torah, one who ponders deeply will reveal in nature wondrous miracles. And it's interesting, Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa told his daughter, it's Maseches Tainis 25:8. It's the famous story. It was time for Shabbos candles and they ran out of oil. So Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa said to her, take vinegar. And then what did he say?
The God that makes the oil light.
What?
Light vinegar.
I didn't hear.
The God that makes the oil burn will make vinegar.
Very nice. The God who makes oil burn will make vinegar burn. So this is an interesting statement of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, because he could have just said the vinegar will burn. He didn't need to say, he who makes oil burn, which is very obvious, will also make vinegar burn. Question on the Gemara. You can really just say, light with vinegar, it's going to burn. What is he telling her? The God who makes oil burn. It's exactly this lesson that we're trying to understand here. He was saying to her, first you have to realize that Teva is a nis. When you realize and appreciate that oil burning is really a miracle, Hashem just put it in Teva, then you will be worthy to see vinegar burn. You understand? It's beautiful. When you see, when you appreciate, the nature, the miraculous nature of oil burning, which is nature, then you will be worthy to see vinegar burning. In truth, everything we witness every day is a wondrous miracle. And therefore, through the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon ve'achalta v'savatu v'rechta es Hashem akecha ala aret sotov v'shena sanach, Birkas HaMazon is over Gashmius. The Torah is teaching us an important lesson. The sun that shines in the fields, the water that falls, the seeds that sprouts, the produce that grows, the crops we harvest, the food we eat is all from Hashem. As Chazal note, Bereishis Rabbah 10:7, there's no blade of grass that does not have a muzzle in Shamayim striking it and say grow. So everything is divine. I want to finish this insight, please, before questions. And with this realization, concludes the insight, it is incumbent upon us to bless the Creator for the food we eat to satiation, and we will take pleasure in delighting in the Word and the world of God. Now I want to apply that insight to understand Chag HaShavuos. Parashas Torah brings that down in regard to the mitzvah d'oraisa of Birkas HaMazon, explaining that when you eat bread, you have to give thanks.
Em en kemach ein Torah.
Perhaps now we have to understand the extra level of rejoicing on Chag HaSukkos, when all the bounty is brought into the house. The Baal Turim's words make sense on a deeper level, and so does Rashi's words. Bizman ha'asiv sha'ata machnis labayis peros hakayitz. The deeper level here is that it is a recognition of the bracha and really the miracles in nature of Hashem. When you bring that all into your home and you gather and you put it in the cellar and you're prepared for winter and you're not going to starve because you had all the produce that in the field that's now in your home, now it's v'samachta b'chagecha, you and your son and your daughter and your servant, your maidservant, your levi, the ger, the yasam, the almana, because look who's going to benefit from the produce. And then we can say, when you're wealthy in gashmias, but you recognize it's from Hashem, who is the source of our rejoicing, capital W, who is the source, capital S, it's really a cause for rejoicing. But first you must recognize that oil burning is an ace, and then you'll be zocha to recognize that vinegar burning is an ace. Before I still take a comment, I just want to say one thing. We're talking about appreciating the wonders of Hashem. So it is very impressive that you looked at this. I'm not being facetious, I'm being serious. So you look at the sun, you say it's really a miracle, even if it's not related to the rain. But the way of the world is, we do take Teva for granted. And I said to my mother yesterday, I can't. But I texted her, I said, I wish I could stop reading the news. I can't. And when I tell you about the news, I don't mean on the Daily News and the New York Post. I don't read that. I'm talking about Arut Shava primarily, Israel Hayam, and Yeshiva World News is also a very good source. Those are my news sources. I said, I wish I could stop reading the news because I can't. No, I can't handle it. But I can also stop reading the news. But I tried to tell myself, I'm being serious. I said, think of all the 29-year-olds who went out today and who came home. So trying to be focused on the positive nisim of Hashem that exist in Teva can help us tap into the koach of simcha. Because the pain really sometimes feels very crippling and overwhelming, and everything I say is true on an individual level and on a national level. It's absolutely true. But when we come up to the Yom Tov of Simcha, Hashem is teaching us, focus on the base gashmias, see it as a miracle in nature, because it can't be that the Torah is telling us the source of our rejoicing is corn, and oranges, and grapes, and olives. I should be happy. But if you could see Yad Hashem and the things we take for granted, then we can truly rejoice. And I really had to tell myself, I said, think of all the 29-year-olds, that are Jews, who went out yesterday in Eretz Yisrael, and Baruch Hashem came home for whatever reason that Yosef HaTzadik, Yosef HaTzadik's time was up. It's din, it's very, very, not very difficult. It's impossible to comprehend. We see him as a carbon on behalf of the klal, Kiddush Hashem, but if we can focus on the bounty, and that will be a source of v'samachta b'chagecha with your whole family and those who are poorer than you. And then v'yisa ach samechi will be only happy. So you ladies wanted to ask first.
Well, I had a comment to make. Actually, in Shema, we talk about what the punishment will be if we don't do what we're supposed to, that we won't have this bounty.
The rain won't be in time.
So in a way, it means that we actually, by completing the cycle, and it's after Yom Kippur, the completion of this cycle, it's almost like we had a good relationship with Hashem, and we can actually feel a little bit optimistic that maybe we got a good bracha, that we did a good job.
I hope so.
So it's like the, you know, so he allowed us to succeed. So okay. Maybe the double simcha is the bounty and our spiritual
growth,
because okay. Hashem allowed us to have this bounty,
okay.
And it's the end of a cycle. It's a chazaka.
Okay. Very nice.
My comment wasn't so much about the simcha, but it just, I think that when we see the gashmius aspect of this, that it kind of reminds us that every aspect of our Torah life starts with Gashmius that is supposed to be elevated to the Ruchnius.
Very nice. Okay, so I don't think I spoke about it in this class. I don't think I spoke about it. I don't know. But obviously, Sukkot and Zman Simchaseinu follows Aseret Yemei Teshuvah very, very quickly. My first class this morning for Sukkot was up. My brother and my husband were supposed to put up each other's together yesterday. Of course, it didn't happen. But Zman Simchaseinu really follows the spirit of great trepidation. We're like supposed to be shaken to the core during the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. If we're not, something's wrong. And then we come out of Vayisa Ach Sameach, we should be only happy. Teshuvah, I want to touch upon what you said, is an acronym. The Arizal brings down something very, very beautiful. I also saw it in Sefer Bar Parsot Torah, but it's brought down by the Arizal, the great Kabbalist. Teshuvah stands for Tamim Tihiya Im Hashem Elokacha, Dvarim 18:13. I have a problem because I can't translate the word Tamim. I'm being serious. It's not supposed to be translated. It means, Rashi says, Hisaleich Imo B'tmimus, walk with him with this purity, but you understand when you translate Av Lashon Kodesh, you lose the meaning. V'lo lach kor al ha'asidus. Sometimes we spend so much time worrying about the future, we forget about today. Don't delve into the future. Kol mashe yavo elecha, kabel b'tmimus. Everything that comes to you, accept with this pure, this tmimus. V'az tia imo ulechalko. And then you will be for him in first portion. So the first, if you want to know how to repent, how to come back to God, and perhaps how to have the joy. When I say joy, I don't mean the way that modern society translates joy, chalid v'chas, or defines joy. We're talking about the Torah aspect of joy, which is recognizing Yad Hashem. You have to go through the process of teshuva to come to simcha. So you must be tamim tiyam Hashem al-kecha. Next one is a pasuk from David HaMelech, from Tehillim. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi samid. Hashem is before me always. Kapitol tazayin, I believe, chapter 16. Hashem is before me always. Tamid means always and consistent. Vav is all important via haftalarei acha kamocha. The Musar masters say, when you're busy putting on your talus and shul, don't whip the guy behind you in the eye. And of course, it's told in the way of laughter, and it is cute. But okay, I guess physically and literally it means don't whip guy behind you in the eye. Of course, it has a very impactful message for every man and woman in Kali. So whether you're actually putting on a talus or not, when you're so busy being religious, don't trample upon your fellow human being. This is why I thought of it, because of what you said next, which is v'chol drachecha da'ehu beis v'hu yiyasha orchasecha, in all your ways you shall know him, and he will make your path straight. So when I teach this word over, v'chol drachecha da'ehu, I explain that we must make the beis gashmis ruchnias. So I think that's what you were trying to say. And everything you do, have the proper kavanos. And finally, the hey is v'hatznea lechas imelkecha, very famous pasuk from Micha. And now, man, what does Hashem want from you, Lot? Asay mishpa ahavas chesed v'hatznea lechas imelokecha. The hey says the Arizal is this aspect of tznias, which I also can't translate, by the way. And it's interesting that the two bookends of tshuva, tmimus, and tznias, I will not translate because I can't. Well, maybe I will. That was blinir. Tmimus is defined as simplicity or purity, and hatznea lechas is defined as humbly. But you can't translate it. And what's fascinating, one more word on this, so I'm going to get back to Sukkot. But this really leads us into the simcha of Sukkot. And that is what's so beautiful, is that the first one commanded to be tamim. Noach was tamim, but the first one commanded to be tamim was Avraham Avinu, Bereishis 17:1. Hashem appeared to him when he was 99 years old. And Kel Shakai said, Hishalech lefanai veheyei tamim, walk before me and be pure. Rashi says there, Heye shalem b'chol nisyonosai. You want to tmimus means be complete in all the nisyonos that are about to come your way. So the bookends of teshuva were founded by the father of Lumi Yisraelis, the man of tmimus. And hatznei alachas imelokecha, ayei sari ishtecha, where sari your wife, say the angels when they come to give the besuras tovas. Hine ba'ohel, she's in the tent. Rashi, very famous, tsanuahi. She is a tsanua woman. So the bookends of tshuva are actually put down for us by the father and mother of the Uma Yisraelis. Avraham Avinu on one side, Sari Meir on the other side, the first to recognize God, and they teach us how to come to Hashem. So if we could go through the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, embracing these ideals, Tamim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha, Shuvisi Hashem Lenegli Samil, Va'ahavta Recha Kamocha, Bechol Drachecha De'eyu, and finally, Hatznei Alechasim Elokecha, if we can journey through this period embracing those ancient, timeless words of Torah, we will be zocha, perhaps, to v'samachta v'chagacha v'yiseach samech. So now we just had a totally different insight. The first thing we spoke about is recognizing Yad Hashem and the Gashmius, and recognizing it's a bracha. And we have to strive to recognize that nature's a bracha. And I'm talking to myself, I have to be mechazek, can't feel despondent when Yosef HaTzadik was murdered yesterday, because I have to see all the 29-year-olds who went out and came home. And not take nature for granted. I'm talking to myself. Do you recognize that? I'm talking to myself because it's very difficult and it's very painful. So I have to look at how many thousands went out yesterday and came home. So I have to look at nature as a bracha. And that's when you gather in your produce, you can have simcha. The next insight we just added because of your comments, which led to something else, is totally different. If you can journey through teshuvah properly, the way we explained, you will be zocha to simchas yom tov. You journey, you return to God through following this formula, you will be zocha to Simchas Yom Tov. Yeah, Shani, you weren't saying something before, right? Oh, I thought you did.
No.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay, ready? Move on. Rav Sham Shem Fal Hirsch, the Devarim 16:14, Tazayin Yodalad. Rav Sham Shem Fal Hirsch writes, all the regalim are called chag, right? After the national circle, chog is a circle, according to Rav Sham Shem Fal Hirsch, who is very machpid's the wrong word. He was very focused on looking at the Shorashim to understand what the Torah is trying to tell us. Chag is the national circle of Chog. So the regalim are called Chog after a national circle. We gather before God in His sanctuary. The festival of Sukkot, he says, is especially called by this name. Because Vasamachta Bechagecha Vayisa Ach Samech, the Indian of rejoicing on the Chog. Why? So he also talks about the time of harvest. Precisely at the time of harvest, when the individual is most inclined, listen to this, to cultivate his separate existence. At the time when you're busy with your home, your family, your produce, your crops, your preparation for winter. You know, you think of Lahavdil, but I think in my mind of the squirrel Lahavdil, who's gathering the acorns. So he, the squirrel, can survive the entire. I'm not making a joke, I'm being serious, okay? So Rav Hirsch says the individual is inclined during this busy time period of the year to cultivate his own separate existence. He's worried about, how am I going to get through Kislev Teves Shvat when it's cold and dark and there's nothing growing on the field? Now, says Rav Sham Shem Fal Hirsch, this festival, more than any of the other regalim, is meant to awaken us, to give, perhaps that's another relation between Sukkot and the Amim Noraim. The Rambam says, the blast of the shofar says, arise you that sleeps, awake you that slumbers. Give expression to the consciousness and the feeling of national belonging through the uniting force of Torah. So Rav Sham Shem Fal Hirsch says the Indian of Chag, Chog, national circle, specifically during this time of Sukkot, is meant to remind us of our shared destiny and our circle as one. When we are most inclined to turn inward, Hashem says, turn outward. Join the national circle. Right? The same applies to the mitzvah of simcha, says Rav Hirsch, the joy of the individual in his life before God. And the joyful feeling of the nearness of the mitzvah is the aim of the festival of Sukkot. Right? The connection between simcha and chagiga, as implied by the wording of the verse, says Rav Hirsch, is of great significance. Why? The thought that joy will be found only on the basis of a sense of belonging to the national community. V'samachta b'chagecha means the simcha of the individual can only be found if you belong to the chog, the national community, the national circle. Just as the welfare of the national community is realized through the joyful life of the individual. So they really go hand in hand, and that's what a circle means. Every part of the circle is interconnected. If you imagine a circle made up of beads, and you take out one bead, all of a sudden it's not a complete circle. So that means every individual must rejoice, but every bead must be in place with simcha, but the simcha only comes if all the beads are connected. So Rav Hirsch says, what does it have to do with the time of harvest? The Torah is saying, during this busy time, when you're most inclined to say, I'm worried about myself and my home, ato uvincha uvitacha, the Torah transitions us from you, your son, and your daughter, to your slave and your maidservant. You're still concerned about them, but perhaps to a lesser degree than your son and your daughter. And then the Torah transitions us to the Levi, the Ger, Yasam, and Almana. So there's a transition. The Torah is saying, does everyone understand? It's very beautiful. We're applying the words of Rav Shamsher and Fal Hirsch to the Pasuk here. V'samachta lefnei Hashem Elokecha. How will you rejoice? 1 second, please. V'samachta bechage. Oh, interesting. Beautiful. By Shavuos it says V'samachta lefnei Hashem Elokecha. You rejoice before Hashem your God. I didn't realize this when I was preparing, based on the words of Rav Hirsch. By Sukkot it says V'samachta bechagecha. Rejoice in the national circa. You see the difference? By Shavuos it's still more of an individual rejoicing. Perhaps I just thought of something, because as an individual you have to be mekabel the Torah. You're still part of the klal. It's one of the Shalosh Galim, but you, the individual, has to say, I accept the yoke of Torah mitzvos. But by Sukkot, it doesn't say v'samachta lefnei Hashem Elokecha, it says v'samachta bichagecha. Oh, it's beautiful. Now I understand these words much more deeply. I didn't even realize when I was reading. V'samachta, you, the individual, beads, can only rejoice when you are bichagecha, each part of the national circle. If you take out a bead, you could say it looks like a circle, but it's not. Complete rejoicing only comes when you are part of that circle. And it's really the Torah's telling us stages. You should rejoice with your son and your daughter. And I know you're concerned about your slave and your maidservant. But don't forget, says the Torah, the Levi, the Ger, the convert, the Yasam, the orphan, Rahman's son, and the Amana, and the widow that are in your gates. Make sure you take those along with you, the people we might forget, along with you in your rejoicing. Excuse me, clear? I just want to see one thing, please. Okay. Rav Scheinbaum, any questions or comments? Rav Scheinbaum, in his Sefer, Pninim al HaTorah, proposes a beautiful pshat to understanding a certain Gemara. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, and by the way, this is very relevant, related to the incident, the terror attack, not incident, the terror attack yesterday in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, whoever weeps over the passing of an Adam Kasher, a kosher man, so to speak, Hashem counts his tears and puts them aside in his treasury. So, yes, we have to balance out focusing on all the 29-year-olds who went out yesterday and came home, so as not to become too despondent in our Avodas Hashem, but we also have to weep over the passing of any Adam Kasher. It is not enough to say, oh, well, 100,000, a million, 29-year-olds went out, so therefore, who cares about the one? That's obviously not the attitude of Kal Yisrael. The Gemara says, whoever lets down, which means weeps, over the passing of an Adam Kasher, a kosher man, Hashem counts those tears and puts them aside in his treasury. So Rav Scheinbaum says, why is it so important to weep over an Adam Kasher? What does an Adam Kasher mean? He says, an Adam Kasher is just a good Jew. Doesn't necessarily mean a brilliant Torah scholar, a leader of the generation, a gadol hadar, just a simple Jew. Good character, good behavior, devout and virtuous. It's the person who doesn't necessarily make waves. It's a person whose passing might go unnoticed. He's just an Adam Kasher. By the way, did everyone see that this Yosef who was murdered yesterday, earlier in the year, he stopped a terror attack, a potential terror attack against a kindergarten. He noticed suspicious activity by a Muslim Arab outside, and he stopped him, and he was carrying a knife. And he was arrested, and he admitted under questioning that he was planning to go into the school and commit a terror attack. So an Adam Kasher is a person you might forget about him because his name isn't in the news. He's a regular guy, a regular Jew. And Rav Scheinbaum says sometimes we don't cry for such people. Sometimes we focus on the famous or the big or the important leaders, and we should, but we forget about the importance of one. So Hashem says, if you cry over the Adam Kasher, those tears are so precious, they get put away in the treasury. He says a beautiful point. When we weep over the passing of a great man, I'm quoting Rav Scheinbaum in Pnim al Torah. When we weep over the passing of a great man, we cry over our loss. We say, Yusomim hayinu ve'einav. When we cry over the death of an Adam Kasher, we grieve over Hashem's loss. Because that Adam Kasher, the simple Jew, who other people may not have taken notice of, Hashem says, he is as important to me as the greatest leader. Every Jew, Hashem says, "Vayimam at Har Sinai," he tells Moshe, nobody should touch the mountain. And the pasuk is, "V'nafal mimenu rov." It's in Parshas Yisro, Perikat Tes, and many will fall. So what do you mean? How do you know how many are going to fall? Maybe only one guy is going to touch the mountain, Har Sinai. So Rashi says there, "Afilu yachid," even if it's one person, "Nechshav lefanei kirov," it's considered before me as many. I'm bringing this back to the pasuk which we're talking about. So Rav Scheinbaum says, when an ordinary man leaves this world, it takes a thoughtful and caring person to express grief. But that's Hashem's loss. And when we cry, we're showing Hashem, so to speak, that what's important to Him is important to us. Every person in the klal has something to contribute in his own way. And what we're learning is you don't need to be a gadol hadar to be an Adam Kasher. All the tears over a regular Jew that might otherwise be forgotten, Hashem stores away. So now I want to apply this to the pasuk of rejoicing on the Yamim Tovim. Ata, you, Bincha, no need to tell you to rejoice with your son, Uvitecha, even though the Torah does tell us, the Torah is saying, I know you're going to include them. And you're going to include your servant and your maidservant because that's an asset. And just like a person cares about their family, the truth is a person cares about their assets. They need them. But then the Torah says the Levi, he doesn't have a portion in Eretz Yisrael, because Hashem hu nachlas, so Hashem is his portion. And don't forget the ger who feels rootless and homeless. That is really the definition of a ger. He came from another country and he doesn't have a place. And don't forget the yasam and the amana asher bisharecha. So Hashem wants us to rejoice by including the regular Adam Kasher. It's nice to have the prestigious guest at our table. Ooh, I had a meal with so-and-so and look who I invited. That's very, very nice. But what about, and you know what? There are a lot of such people in our society who are forgotten and who don't feel so important and perhaps don't feel included. When the Torah says the ger, it's not only speaking about literally somebody who converted. It's someone who perhaps feels rootless and unincluded, who maybe doesn't feel part of the national circle, who maybe feels like he is outside of the circle and not in a positive way. And the Torah goes out of its way to tell us, your simchas yom tov of bechagecha, the simcha being in the chog, must be connected to people who don't necessarily feel part of that circle. We do, it is imperative that we go out of our way to include the regular, I'm putting in quotes, Adam Kasher, who Hashem says to me, that is an Adam Gadol. Related to this is another insight related to the Yamim Noraim, and that is, we're gonna propose a different interpretation here. We say on the Yamim Noraim, Hashem is one of the names for Yom HaDin of Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaZikaron. Why? Because Hashem is Zocher Kol Hanishkachos. Hashem remembers all the forgotten. We're gonna propose three ways to explain what it means that He, Hashem, remembers the forgotten. The first one is the typical way. I just came from a Shmir Salashim class. We're learning Sefer Kuntros Chovas Hashmir by the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim says, unbelievable, we learned it this morning, they're going to play back everything you did. Imagine seeing a video of your whole life. They're going to say to you, did you do this and this on such and such day? They're going to make you sign, I'm quoting from Sefer Kuntros Chovas Hashmir, which is, by the way, what we say, Chosem Yad Kol Adam Bo. They're going to make you sign, they're going to say, Yafed Ananta, Hashem was good in judgment. And then he says, they're going to open up a Sefer Torah and tell you, read from the Sefer Torah all the passages that deal with negative speech and ask you, did you not know these passages? How could you not have transgressed? So Zecher Kol Hanishkachos on the very basic frightening level means, well, the things that I want to forget, Hashem's going to say, did you do this on, you know, like June 1st, 1980? I was in Bas Mitzvah on June 1st, 1980. Did you do this on June 1st, 1995? And I'm going to say, what are you talking about? And they're going to say, oh no, watch the video. So Zocher Kol Hanishkachos means he remembers everything that I would forget, or that I do, not even that I would want to forget, that I mamish do forget. Zocher Kol Hanishkachos, I saw a beautiful pshat. I don't remember where I saw this, but it's beautiful. It's different. He remembers what we forget in a positive way. When a man does a chesed, or a tova, or a mitzvah, and he talks about how great he is, and he constantly reminds God of what he did, and he remembers, so Hashem forgets. That if you forget, in other words, this is lekach notzarta, al tachzik tova la'atzmecha ki lekach notzarta. I don't think I deserve an award because I did that chesed. That's for what I was created. When you forget, zocher kol nishkachos, Hashem remembers, and gives you schar. Oh, by the way, that's an inyan of chizuk. The first way is, I'd rather not talk about it because it's scary. Hashem's going to remember everything I did. The second way is, He's going to remember everything I forgot. In terms of Torah and Chasar Amaisim Tovim. If you don't make a big deal because you don't think you're greater than Adam because you just, I don't know, did a chesed, and he chesed, so Hashem says, I remember that. That's Zocher Kol Nishkach. It's beautiful. The third interpretation relates to our Pasuk. Alevi Hager HaYasim V'Almana. Perhaps we can explain something very profound. Zocher Kol Nishkachos. We already quoted the Gemara in Shabbos that says, when you cry tears for an Adam Kasher, which Rabbi Scheinbaum says just means the plain Jew that's forgotten. Shem says, I save those tears. They're so important to me. So perhaps Zocher Kol Nishkachos means Hashem remembers those who are forgotten in society. Those in society perhaps who are forgotten, neglected, alone, maybe others scorn them, that's who Hashem remembers. So Zecher Kol Nishkachos can very much be related to Simchas Yom Tov as well. Hashem is saying, I remember all those people who others may have forgotten about. And I'm telling you, if you want to have Simchas Yom Tov, if you want to rejoice in the circle of the Chag, make sure you remember those people as well. Rav Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal, beautiful story, and his family were once driven home, the importance of each person, and including each person on the Yom Tov, were driven, you know, it's beautiful. We want to have a Yom Tov meal with our family, so do I. Good, great, Baruch Hashem, we should. But that's Ata Uvincha Uvitecha. And I'm not, please, Chas Hashem, the Torah goes out of her way to say, include them. But don't forget, says Hashem, who is Zochar Kol Nishkachos, those other people who perhaps are forgotten by society, who don't feel important or loved. Answer of Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal's Chusu Yagan Eleinu, and his family were driving home, and they were being driven home from a function by a total stranger. As they got into the car, the driver whispered to someone, what am I going to talk to the Rosh Hashiva about? I can't speak with him in learning. His anxiety lasted but only a few moments. Rav Moshe engaged him in a friendly conversation. By the way, they say about the Chafetz Chaim also, he was very talkative. They say people think the Chafetz Chaim was quiet. He was actually a very talkative person. Rav Moshe asked him about his family, his livelihood, other similar topics. Rav Moshe noticed this man, obviously it was in the days before Waze, was taking a different route than usual, and he asked him about it. So the man said the traffic lights on this way were synchronized, the trip's a little bit faster. And when he came to the Feinstein home and he dropped off the Gadol Dar, Rav Moshe thanked the driver. And he said to him, this is brought down in the beautiful, if you didn't read the art score biography of Rav Moshe Feinstein that they republished for the 25th year site, it's very, very beautiful. Rav Moshe said, I have learned something good now. From now on, I will tell others there's a better route to take than the route we usually take. And it says in the book that the driver beamed with pleasure. Furthermore, a simple elderly neighbor, an Adam Kasher, once came to his apartment for Pesach, for davening. Rav Moshe greeted him very warmly, and he knew the man was not a Talmid Chacham, who's a Jew. Rav Moshe said, so how is the fish this Yom Tov? Rav Moshe knew he was unlearned, and this was a topic, talking about the food on Yom Tov, that he will appreciate. So when the Torah Davka says it's only about Sukkot, that it says v'samachta b'chagecha, we already said Pesach doesn't say Simcha at all. Shavuos it says v'samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Sukkot it's rejoice in your, says Rav Shamshar Falhush, national circle. So if you want to make sure all the beads are in the circle, you got to put yourself in, and you have to take along with you those Jews who may otherwise not feel good. The one, you're the Gadol Hadar, and the guy only can talk about the food, so talk about the food, and you need to compliment him, so tell him he gave you a good route. And of course we all bring that down to our own level by encouraging and including and loving and bringing back perhaps fellow Jews. That is truly Simchas Yom Tov. And Rav Palm's words, Zatzal, very beautiful, Rav Palm and the festivals brings down, helping others is the formula for a life of Simcha. Rambam says on Simcha of Sukkot, the theme of Sukkot is beautiful. Ready? One must leave his permanent dwelling, which he calls his own mind. The permanent dwelling is yourself. This is my permanent dwelling, me. Leave your permanent dwelling and settle in a temporary dwelling, which means at this time, go out of your way to think of the needs of others. Leave your permanent dwelling, which is his own mind. I'm quoting, settle in a temporary dwelling, thinking of the needs of others. And in doing so, he sets the pace for the whole year. He will find contentment in his own life and will enjoy a year-round Zman Simchasenu. The Rambam says, Mishnah Torah, Hilchos Yom Tov, the Rambam says, quote, when one eats and drinks, one must also feed Hilchos Yom Tov, when one must eat and drink, when one eats and drinks, one must also feed the stranger, the orphan, the widow, that's what the Pasuk just told us, and the other unfortunate paupers. Listen what the Rambam says. But one who locks the doors of his courtyard and eats and drinks with his children and his wife, the first category is given a family, but does not feed the poor and the embittered soul. So that's very important, because sometimes we think, you know, someone who could afford it, but who's in a place of agmas nefesh, she doesn't need me because he has money. But it's the poor, who maybe who can't afford the food. And it's more than that. It's someone of the embittered soul. Rambam says, if you lock your door to those people and you only rejoice with your family, this is not the joy of the mitzvah, it's the joy of his belly. That's when gashmius remains gashmius. That's when your produce that you have gathered in remains just food and nothing more. But if you invite others to your circle, then all of a sudden that base gashmius becomes tremendous kedusha, which leads to the simchas yom tov. Okay. So just in, I want to talk about the lulav and esrog, the arba minim. Okay. Anything about what we spoke about? Did I take water? Yeah, no. Anything about what we spoke about?
I just thought that, to relate it to another share that you gave, I think, you know, teshuva could be related to Pesach, because you said teshuva was about somebody getting to know themselves, and that was the holiday when we got out of slavery, when we had to get to know ourselves, because a slave can't know themselves. A slave is owned by somebody else.
Okay.
And that Shavuos is about tefillah, because you said tefillah was about our relationship with Hashem.
Is about what?
Our relationship to Hashem.
What did you say before that?
Teshuva. Yeah. I mean...
No, Shavuos is
tefillah.
Tefillah, because it's
Shavuos is Torah. How do you say tefillah?
Well, because our Torah is our relationship to Hashem, and in our generation, it is through tefillah that we have it, we talk to Hashem.
No, leave it at Torah, because you're going to a very nice place, but tefillah and Torah are totally different. The Raga Trevor Gaon says, when you daven, you're talking to Hashem. When you learn Torah, Hashem's talking to you.
All right. And then I think Sukkot is about what you said, tzedakah, and our relationship to the community.
So I think what we're seeing is very beautiful, but I want to leave Shavuos at Torah.
Okay,
because the Yamim and the Raim are about tefillah, but Shavuos start. But Rezi said something nice. We can have the Lashon of Simcha, perhaps, by Mitzrayim, because a slave, not by his own fault, but, and I know there are exceptions to the rule, but generally, a slave is concerned with his own self and his own survival. What they live for is to live another day. There's not much room or resources, even if they want to think about somebody else. In fact, it's absolutely true, because one of the things about the Korban Pesach, Rav Shmuel Golden brings down the Korban Pesach, V'lakachu u'shchenu ha-karav el-beso, Rav Shmuel Golden says, now that you're free, go to your shachen ha-karav el-beso. Your neighbor who's close. Before that, you could not, even if you wanted to, say to your neighbor, you want to share my roast, because you didn't have a roast. So how are you going to share it with the neighbor? So Shibud Mitzrayim is first freeing yourself. Once you free yourself, beautiful. But I want to keep it at Torah, not Tefillah. You can accept the Torah as an individual. And then, once you go through the process of Teshuvah, as we explained, you're ready to include others. Very nice. Beautiful. Very, very nice. Very nice. So Yetzias Mitzrayim is about, yes, the nation was freed, but see yourself as a free man who now has the capacity to think about your neighbor. Then come to accept the Torah. That was the next stage, by the way. That's why a Pesach and Shavuos are connected by Sfiras HaOmer. It's a continuum. Once you're a free man, come and accept the Torah. Now you can have some level of Simcha, and that's why it's for Samach Lefnei Hashem. You as an individual accept the Torah. And once you go through the process of acceptance of Torah and Teshuvah, as we've explained it, you're ready to include others in the National Chog. Very nice. Beautiful. Okay, the Pasuk says in Vayikra 23, Parak Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Lamitas. Okay, I'm just going to tell you. Ulekachnam lacham, I have it in my notes. Ulekachnam lacham bayam harishon, very famous pasuk. So take for yourself on the first day, pre eats hadar, the fruit of a hadar tree, and part of the inyan of Sukkis is the hidur mitzvah. The sukkah should be decorated. Chazal talk about this. I remember when my brother showed it to me in the Gemara that the Chazal talk about it. It shouldn't just be plain. It should be the inyan of hidur, beautifying the mitzvah. The lulav, the arba minim, the esrog should be beautiful. The sukkah should be beautiful. Again, take the gashmis and make it ruchnias.
Chabad does not decorate the sukkah.
Why?
The guests are the decorations.
Beautiful. That, no, it's not a joke. It ties in exactly to what we're saying.
That's why we say,
you will be complete in your simcha. But that's so beautiful, related to what we're saying decorations. About including the less fortune in your meal. That leads to true simcha. Very nice.
They don't. The Chabad puts nothing up in their
but
sukkah.
But you can have the people plus.
Very nice.
Now they're people
want
the decoration. You need nothing else.
No, let's go on. Yeah. Very nice. Ulekachtam creates hadar hidur mitzvah, a beautiful esrog, not just an esrog. Rashi explains the arba minim based on this pasuk. Kapos tamarim, says Rashi, the fronds of the tamar tree, of the date palm, lulav. Anaf eitz avos, says Rashi, is hadasim. Arve nachal is Aravos, they grow by the Nachal, the stream. That is Vayirka 23:40. Parachav Gimel, Sefer Vayirka, Pasuk Mem, Usamachtam Lifnei Hashem Elkechem Shivas Yamim. You will rejoice before Hashem your God for 7 days. So, interesting that when it comes to taking the Arba Minim, which is a mitzvah for yourself, whoa, I didn't realize this, it says Lifnei Hashem, the Simchas before Hashem. But when it comes to the bounty, it's Vesamachtam Bechagacha, as we've been understanding, include your guests. Very nice. So there's an inyan to make sure it's hidur mitzvah, pre-eat hadar. It's not just to take the fruit. It should be extra beautiful fruit for each of the four species. Rav Elio Kitov writes in Sefer HaTodah, Book of Our Heritage, a mehudar esrog, again, hadar, completely clean of spots, I'm quoting Kitov, should have many protrusions and depressions on the surface. It should not be smooth like a lemon. The oketz, where it was connected to the tree, should be depressed into the bottom. I'm quoting the requirements for an esrog. Please ask your rabbi if you have a shayla. It should have a tower shape, which means broad at the bottom, narrow at the top. The shoshanta, the flower atop the pitim, should be whole on all sides. The pitim should be centered, parallel to the oketz. So the oketz, a depression, and the pitim, the point on top that came from the flower, should be centered, wide at the bottom, narrow at the top, and very bumpy is nice, and it should not be smooth like a lemon. However, while we work on ourselves to beautify the physical objects that enhance the mitzvah, make sure it's a hidur mitzvah of the arba minim, this is one of my favorite stories of the Rav. Let's not forget to beautify ourselves as well. In a shiur delivered in 1977, Rav Salvechik Zatzal related the following. I love it. The Torah requires that a Jew emulate the concept of tzimtzum. Tzimtzum means withdrawal or self-contraction. Hashem, so to speak, displays the inyan of tzimtzum to us. It means that Hashem, infinity, can reside in the Mishkan. Vasui Mikdash Vashachanti Besocham, that says Rav Salvechik is the Midah of Tzimtzum. How could infinity reside in any finite space? Tzimtzum itself, contraction or withdrawal. And the Gemara says, Mahu af ata behalachta bedrachav. You have to emulate the Midos of Hashem. So He contracts, so to speak. We must also contract. I want to get through this part, please. At times, says the Rav, man must be capable of withdrawing from himself. Let me give you some examples from my own experience. My wife died on Tanis Esther. It was a Thursday. She was buried on Friday. I was very attached to her. Part of myself went into the grave with her. She was a young woman. She was in her early 60s. I came home. I took off my shoes. I sat down on the floor. I began to observe the period of Shiva, of mourning. It was very therapeutic for me. The fact that I was allowed to sit on the floor and told to cry, I could cry. It was redemptive. It was cathartic. Suddenly, it was Sunday. Purim arrived. I had to get up. I had to put on my shoes. I had to celebrate Purim. Did I have the strength? No, but this is symptom, contraction from yourself. The halacha required it. And then he said, I don't want comments. I get many questions regarding birth control. I am generally stringent in these matters. I know it requires inner strength on the part of women to heed my decision. Again, he's talking about women who consult him for a psak. I'm quoting Osalvejic Rebbeim. Many had to discontinue their education as a result. Others had to give up many things, their jobs. They withdrew and they surrendered to halacha. Now he's going to talk about tzimtzum in surrender to our midos. So those two examples he gave were surrender to the halacha. But sometimes we have to contract from our midos, ra'os, from our negative traits. Now he says, and I'm relating it specifically because he says, I'll tell you a story about an esrog that will illustrate the principle of tzimtzum, withdrawal, self-limitation. It was the first year my father, Rav Moshe Zatzal, the father, the son of Rav Chaim Brisk, my father came to Warsaw, 1921. There was a shortage of esrogim in Warsaw that year. My father spent a small fortune to buy a mehudar, a beautiful, as we were speaking about esrog. We didn't have much at the time. It was a real expense, Rav Salvechik speaks about when he was a child. I'm going on a tangent for a minute. His pants, and he says his pants were too short, and his pants were torn, and the boys in the town used to make fun of him. The town robbed. They couldn't afford to buy pants. So one day, his mother, one year, he was a young boy, and his mother called him in Shvat, and she said, for Pesach this year, you will have new pants. And he was so happy. And then she called him in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and she said, I'm sorry, we can't afford it this year. So he says, there was a shortage of esrogim in Warsaw. My father spent a small fortune to buy a mehudar esrog. We didn't have much at the time. It was a real expense, another thing we certainly take for granted. My father treated the esrog like a firstborn child with much tenderness and love. He placed it in a silver case. This is a true story, says the Rav, not a legend. The first night, my sister Shalamis, who now lives in Boston, this was in 1977, apparently inspected the esrog and she dropped it. The pitum fell off. The beauty was impaired. Listen to the next sentence. My father did not say one word. My sister became hysterical. My father calmed her down. Don't be hysterical. You didn't want to drop it. It was a mistake. An esrog without a pitum may also have value on Sukkot under certain circumstances. Says the Rav, is this not tzimtzum? To spend $5 or $10 at the time was one thing, but to contain oneself and not get angry was withdrawal par excellence and the perfect example of tzimtzum. And then he says at the end, this is not a chassidish or maisa, this is a true story. So when we're so busy, Yom Tov becomes busy and it becomes hectic and it becomes overwhelming and it can become stressful. We can't forget that the people who grace our homes and our table are our decorations and just beautiful. And just like we must have a mehudar set of arba minim, we have to make sure that we, the person, are mehudar as well. And sometimes that requires us to contract or withdraw. In this case, perhaps the esrog is not kosher anymore, according to Lecha, but he has to withdraw from himself. Of course, we know this, but I want to end with this beautiful medrash. It's very famous, but I want to end with it. Vayikra Rabba, medrash 30, Vayikra Rabba 30, a fruit of a beautiful tree. This refers to Israel. Just as the esrog has taste and scent, one of my favorite smells, so too there are Jews, you know this, but I want to end here, who possess Torah learning and goodies, because this really sums up our shir. Just like the Arba Minim are taken together, the Simchas Yom Tov of the Chog, the national circle, is made up of different color beads, different kinds of beads, different shapes and sizes. But you have to make sure it's all connected. There are Jews who possess Torah learning and good deeds. The branch of a palm tree, the lulav. This refers to Israel, says the Medrash. Just as a lulav has taste, dates, that lacks scent. There are Jews that doesn't lack scent. There are Jews who possess Torah learning but lack good deeds. The bow from the Avos tree, this refers to Israel, the Hadassim. The Hadassim has scent but lacks taste. There are Jews who have good deeds that lack Torah learning. And finally, the willows of the stream, the Aravos. The Arava lacks taste and scent. There are Jews who block both Torah learning and good deeds. And nevertheless, says the Medrash, Hashem says, take these four types of Jews, bind them up in one bond, and they will atone for each other. So the true Simchas Yom Tov, of course, of Sukkot, as we come off this introspective, powerful, sometimes frightening time of the Sirsimi Teshuvah. I really love what you said. We have to free ourselves from the shackles of bondage, not only from Mitzrayim, but from the shackles of the Yetzer Hara, the Mitzarim, the straits we feel we're in. Every person to free themselves. Come to a place where you could accept the Torah. V'samachta lefnei Hashem elokecha, says the Pasuk in regard to Shavuos. And when you free yourself from the bondage of the Yetzer Hara and are willing to accept the Torah and undergo the process of Teshuvah, what more beautiful way to end the cycle of the Shal Shagam as you begin a new year with the festival of Sukkot, V'samachta v'chagecha, when you can incorporate you and your son and your daughter and the maidservant and the manservant, and don't forget the Levi and the ger, the yasna v'almana, you will truly be v'chayisa ach samecha. It will be the pinnacle, the essence, the epitome of avodas Hashem par excellence. You are a free person who has accepted the Torah, who has embarked on a campaign of teshuva, as we've explained it, and you will truly rejoice with all the bounty, recognizing every single thing in our lives, the ruchnis and the gashmis is all from Hashem. Take all types of Jews, bind them together, and have simchas yom tov. So we should be zocha to Agmar v'chasima tova for us and all of Kaisa. When we, i.e. I, feel despondent, we need to focus on the brachos in nature. They are many, they abound, they are plenty. And we will be zocha be'ezros Hashem to true simchas yom tov. So I wish you all a chasima tova and a chag sameach amen v'amen. You have a question?
I just wanted to say something. I mentioned this with people last week. When you were talking about the idea of being so sad.
When I was talking about what?
The beginning of when we lose somebody and we feel so sad, then we have to think positively about it.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to repeat something that I read about a kavanah to have when you say Shema. It's Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Yudke Vavke, Midas Harachamim. Elokeinu, which is Midas
Din, Hashem Echa, right.
The same Hashem who is good is the same Hashem who is
yes.
Cult, shall we say?
Din.
It's a matter of remembering that it's Echa.
Yes. I'll just repeat it so they could hear. I'm quoting Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Here, Israel, there's Hashem, there's Rachamim, there's Elokeinu, there's Din, but ultimately Hashem Echad, it all emanates. Should all emanate from, we should be zocha to see it all emanate from a place of rachamim, amin ve'amin.